This podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department of Dominican University of California. Hello and welcome to Did You Conspiracy That? With your host, James Walker. Together, we will explore the past, present, and jump to the future to take a look at some prominent events, ideas, and the conspiracy theories that come with them. Thank you all for joining me. Now let's dive on in. I wanted to start off my first podcast by talking a little bit about what conspiracy theories were, where conspiracy theories come from, and why people create conspiracy theories. The dictionary definition says, a conspiracy theory is an explanation for an event or situation that invokes a conspiracy by sinister and powerful groups, often political in motivation, when other explanations are more probable. Conspiracy theories can come from almost anywhere, much of the time being larger organizations or small groups of people who are trying to create an explanation for something that has happened. Another common reason for people to create conspiracy theories is when there is no explanation given at all. When people are not given an explanation for something that has happened, it sparks a lot of emotion, especially fear. When people get scared, they go looking for answers, which most of the time is where the government steps in. Fear provides the ability to control people more than any other emotion. People are more likely to make irrational decisions, obey people with leadership roles, and believe or do almost anything that will make them feel more secure. People enjoy when someone steps in to give an explanation and make them feel more comfortable with what is going on, while others take it upon themselves when they are scared to come up with their own explanations. Those people are the people who create conspiracy theories. Conspiracy theories thrive during times of trauma, when not just a few people, but entire nations are fearful. The first event that I'm going to talk about today is one that brought fear to not just one nation, but many. It is also an event that holds a special place in my heart. On the morning of September 11th, 2001, the world was changed forever. But for a little boy playing in the McDonald's playground, he had no idea that his first birthday was going to become such a significant event. The history books say that the morning of September 11th, 19 Islamic extremists hijacked 4 American planes as a suicide mission to cause as much destruction as possible. 2 of the planes were aimed for the World Trade Centers, 1 was aimed for the Pentagon, and the last was aimed for Washington, D.C., although that one did not make it. The terrorist group responsible for the attacks, Al-Qaeda, had coordinated the attacks beforehand, putting all the lives in their hands. All of this led to the deaths of nearly 3,000 people, along with thousands more being injured. People were confused and scared about what had just happened and what was going to happen for America moving forward from these events. People really didn't want to believe something like this was even possible. Many Americans thought they would be safe from something like this ever happening. After the shock had finally worn off, people started asking questions like, what happened? Why did these planes just crash into the buildings? And who's responsible for this all? And this is where we find our conspiracy theories. The largest conspiracy behind 9/11 is that it was actually an inside job. The idea revolves around the thought that the United States government were actually the ones responsible for the attacks, or that they knew of them beforehand and did not stop them. People started wondering, if this were true, then why would the US attack themselves? The reason given was the United States could give themselves the opportunity to go to war with Afghanistan and Iraq for oil. People have taken a look into the World Trade Centers and found that the way they collapsed seemed suspicious. They claim that the jet fuel could not have possibly been hot enough to melt the steel beams in the building, meaning that they had to have been melted or destroyed by something else. This led people to believing that the towers were actually demolished by explosives after the planes hit them. The idea is the buildings were actually destroyed not by the damage of the planes at all, but through a series of explosions detonated from somewhere else. People looked at the wreckage of the buildings and found that some of the beams seemed to be cut or melted too perfectly to have been done by a plane crashing into them. There have even been reports from eyewitnesses inside the World Trade Centers saying they heard explosions along with seeing flashes of light right before the planes struck the buildings. People have since countered these arguments, saying that even though it is correct the jet fuel does not burn hot enough to melt the steel, the fires that were burning inside the building after the plane crashed into them were hot enough to warp and, after enough time and pressure, collapse the buildings. Overall, this conspiracy states that the government is responsible for the attacks and even aided in the destruction with explosives. Personally, I could conspiracy this being true. The idea of the US government having some involvement in the attacks does not seem far-fetched, nor is it the craziest thing that they have ever done. Those lives will never be given back, and those families will never be the same. I think what is stopping me from believing that this conspiracy is true is truly my moral compass telling me that they would never intentionally murder people for money. The second 9/11 conspiracy theory that I'm going to talk about today states that there was never actually a plane that hit the Pentagon, but rather a United States missile. This theory ties into the previous theory about 9/11 being an inside job, due to the fact that if this were to be true, then the US would have attacked itself not once, but twice. The reasons given that started this conspiracy say that the damage to the Pentagon was not actually significant enough to be a Boeing 747 plane. More research has been done, however, and many experts say that actually what happened was upon impact, the plane went in vertically and one of the wings of the plane was ripped off before the plane hit the building. Somehow, we are again led back to the concept of if what they are saying is true, then the damage and outcome would have been different. In my opinion, I think that the damage to the buildings and the lives that were taken were enough, and in the slight chance that it was a missile and caused less damage than it should have, we should consider it better. The third conspiracy of today's podcast could either be the most believable or the least believable, depending on how you take it. The theory says that the plane that was heading towards Washington, D.C. did not actually crash, but rather was shot down by a white business jet. The history book states that the passengers on the plane tried to retake control, but ultimately failed to do so, but ended up crashing the plane in the field in Pennsylvania, stopping it from reaching Washington, D.C. Jet was supposedly sent to investigate after warnings had popped up across the country that the plane had been hijacked. When the jet came back to report, the only news that they had was they saw a large hole in the ground with lots of smoke pouring out. The thing that makes this believable is the vice president at the time, Dick Cheney, after learning and witnessing the Twin Towers being attacked, immediately ordered any other planes in the US thought to be hijacked to be shot down. Although he later said in an interview that the news never made it to the fighter pilots. In a time of crisis, I think that the right decision was made by the vice president. In this situation, I think I will be sticking to what the books say so I can continue to consider every man, woman, and child on that plane a hero. Final conspiracy that we are going to be discussing today is probably our least convincing of them all and is called Jewish elites. This theory says that over 4,000 Jewish people were saved in the 9/11 attacks after receiving an advanced notice not to show up for work. People believe that the Israeli government mounted the attacks to trick the US into attacking its regional enemies or to put the responsibility on the Jewish elites who control world events from the shadows. This conspiracy was quickly debunked after research found that 119 people who died in the World Trade Centers were confirmed to be Jewish, and an estimate that 400 more people that died could have also been Jewish. This conspiracy theory does not give us very much room to believe it, due to the proof given that there were in fact Jewish people who died that day. I think that the one thing that may be true about this is people may have gotten an advance notice not to go to work on 9/11. Whether it was Jewish people or just anyone, I think that that is 100% possible. With the 20th anniversary of 9/11, I found some very interesting information during my research. The thing that actually surprised me the most was finding out that all these years later, 50% of the United States still believes that the government is hiding something regarding 9/11. That makes me start to think that if conspiracy theories are supposed to be a form of misinformation, at what point do we stop and think that they may be true? With an event this meaningful to the entire country, what would happen if the world found out that 9/11 was actually an inside job? 9/11 conspiracies are still around and, quite frankly, continuing to grow even this many years later. What will happen next? I hope you enjoyed our journey into the world of 9/11 and its conspiracy theories. Thank you all for listening. Please join me again next week where we will continue to explore more wild theories.